Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
There's no way for you to get away from trials and temptations. Somebody came in my office here recently and said, Pastor, would you pray for me that I wouldn't have all these trials and tribulations? I said, what you want me to pray for, you to die? I said, that's the only way that it's going to happen. I said, come on, let's pray for you to die right now. Well, no, I don't want to die. I said, well, if we know that trials and tribulation are common, and that they're coming, then don't be stupid. Prepare yourself for them. If we know it's coming, then we need to be getting ready for it. Amen. The Holy Spirit will prepare us for those things. And he will equip us to go through anything the devil hand out. I'm going to tell you, the devil don't have a weapon that can beat God. And if you're hooked up with God and you got that zeal on the inside, you're going to always come out on top. I'm going to tell you, God fixed the game, amen? The game of life has been fixed by Jesus. When he went to the cross, he said everything that was wrong, he set it right. Everything that was out of order, he put it in order. Everything that was bad about us went to Jesus, and everything that was good about him was made available to us. We need to consider Jesus. So when you're going through a trial and it's hard, sometimes when people are going through a trial, they lose hope. The devil will lie to them and tell them that there's no way out. Your life is over. God has abandoned you. God has left you. God doesn't love you. You know, God is not going to help you out of this situation. And they lose hope. And the devil pushes people further than they need to go, because they yield to him and they believe his lies. Cece and I just came back from a funeral yesterday. A close friend of their family, a young man who's 53 years old, had committed suicide. He had a little trouble in his life, but he didn't consider Jesus. All he considered was his circumstances. He considered his circumstances. And they became overwhelming, and the devil know how to pile it on. When he gets you in a corner like that, boy, I'll tell you, he'll heap it on you. That's why you need to be involved with good people, have good people in your life. That's why you need to have people that in your life that's going to pray for you, that can encourage you, people that you can go to when you're having a tough time. If you'll humble yourself and say, I got a problem, I don't know what to do about it, I'm going to tell you, it'll save your life. Consider Jesus. All right? Fourth thing, consider your ways. I just read that scripture, Haggai 1:7. Thus said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Give careful thought to how you're living. So I'm going to ask you a series of questions here. Are your ways pleasing to the Lord? How you're living your life, does it please God? Is your life an example that other people can follow after? If your life is not an example for other people to follow, then your ways are not pleasing to God. Are you keeping before your eyes things that are not pleasing to the Lord? Do you have things in front of your eyes that's not pleasing to him? Are you habitually speaking words that are not pleasing to the Lord? Are your actions and what you're doing pleasing to the Lord? How you live in your life, is it pleasing God? Is your company pleasing to the Lord? The people you hang out with, is God pleased with you, the company you keep? Is God pleased with the places you go? Is God pleased with the things that you do? I'm asking you to consider your ways. Are you diligently seeking God? Have you lost your desire to please God? I'm going to tell you, I believe that so many people have lost their desire to please God. They no longer think about or live their life to please God. They live them lives to please who? Themselves. People live their life, hey, I'm not pleased. I'm doing this because this pleases me. This satisfies me. This pleasures me. What about God? Shouldn't we all be living our life to please the Lord? Isn't that the example that Jesus gave us? It is. Have you lost your desire to please the Lord? Have you fallen in a trap that's designed to kill your desire to be used by God? Have you lost your focus or your vision to serve God with all your heart? Some people have lost their vision to serve God with all their heart. It's time to let God restore your hunger and your zeal for Him. It's time for God to allow Him to restore the desire to please Him. I'm going to tell you, when we come into this place, this is the body of Christ here today, we should all come in here with a great desire, with great intensity and great fervor to praise God, to worship Him, to hear His word. I mean, do you have a fervor for the word of God? Amen. Do you have an excitement about God? Are you excited about the word? Are you excited about worshiping God? Are you excited about what God's doing in your life? We all need to be excited about that. We need to recover our zeal. I don't want you to lose your zeal. The Holy Spirit does not want us to lose our zeal and our enthusiasm and our strong desire of pursuing God. In John 8:29, Jesus said, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father have not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Look how Jesus lived his life. He said, the Father's with me, he won't leave me, and I only do those things that please him. Now, I looked up that word, please him. That word please also means agreeable. Yeah. So Jesus said, I only do those things that are agreeable to God. If God's not in agreement with what I'm doing, I don't do it. If he's not in agreement with what I'm looking at, I'm not going to look at it. If he's not in agreement with what I'm saying, I better not say it. I better put my hand over my mouth. If God's not in agreement with what I'm doing, I need to change what I'm doing. Amen. And you know what deception is? You know what self-deception is? Self-deception is when you modify a command or instruction given to you by God. It's when you modify something God said to fit your own life. When you do that, then you are self-deceived. I'm asking you, consider your ways. Are you pleasing God? Do you have a burning desire on the inside to please God? Where's your desire for God? Sometimes we get caught up in our own world that we think that life is all about me being pleased. Life ain't about you being pleased. Life is about pleasing God. He should be the object of our worship, the object of our affection, the object of our desire, the object of our purpose. It should be the Lord. There should be nobody in your heart greater than him. I know it's quiet in here on Mother's Day, but I'm trying to help mamas and daddies. We need the zeal of God, that enthusiasm. We need to recover the fire, the fervor, the boiling over passion for God. I can remember when I got saved, how that day when the Lord showed me that giant chalkboard with all my sins on it. I saw all my sins on this giant chalkboard. that board was covered. There was no place to even write another sin. There were sins written on top of sins. The Lord showed me my sinful life because I had asked God to forgive me and to let me start my life over. I said, Lord, will you forgive me for everything I've ever done, thought, or said? Will you forgive me? He said, I'll forgive you. And then he gave me a vision of all my sins on a chalkboard. And then I saw him take a giant eraser and he began to clean the board from the right side to the left side he went. And he erased all of my sins. He cleaned that board up. And when he got to the other side on the left side and they were all gone, he turned to me and he said, see, I have forgiven you all your sins. They are all gone. I don't remember them anymore. And when I saw that the Lord had erased my record of sin, that it no longer existed, then a zeal came inside of me. Oh, an enthusiasm came into my heart, and I prayed a prayer right then. I said, Lord, help me not to mess the board up again. I don't want to sin against you. Lord, I just want to please you. You have done so much for me. And you know, God was doing so much in my life that I didn't really know what was happening in my life. I just knew he was at work in me, and I knew I was enjoying every minute of it. And I prayed another prayer. And I said, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I love it. Keep on doing it. Don't stop working in me. I like this new life you've given to me. And a zeal was born in my spirit. And excitement about Jesus came inside of me. And then after a few weeks and a few months of living like that, I began to get fearful, saying, what if I lose this zeal? And I started praying again, Lord, please don't let me lose this enthusiasm and this zeal for you. I don't want to be like so many believers that I've seen after 5 or 10 years that just settle in to a familiar place and they have no more fire burning in them. And they're just going through the motions of serving God. I said, God, I don't want to be one of those ones that's just going through the motion. Please don't let that happen to me. And I'm going to tell you, every now and then, the Lord had to pay me a visit. When I start slipping and I start losing my zeal, all it takes is a little time in the presence of God and you'll get it all back. Amen. All it takes is you rededicating yourself to the word and getting back in that word and committing yourself to the house of God. David said, the zeal of your house have consumed me. He was zealous about the house of God. He had a great zeal about coming to the place of worship. And we've seen in our day, people have lost their zeal for the house of God. They can take it or leave it. They can turn the TV on and go to church. Get on the internet and go to church. And they have no affection for the house of God. They're not faithful to it anymore. But I'm going to tell you something. The house of God is important to God. If it ain't important to us, let's all watch TV. Let's all get on the internet. What kind of work will we do for the Lord that way? We have to have a zeal for God and the things that please Him.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just 2 blocks off MacArthur Drive.